To begin a series at church in the book of Acts, and we're going to be focusing on Peter and Paul in Acts. And this evening we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. So I'm going to tell you the story, and then so maybe just listen to the story now, then afterwards we can open up our Bibles and then have a look at what the Bibles has as well. But for now, just listen. And afterwards, so the youth to be pretty familiar with this, there's going to be a time after I finish telling the story where I'll ask you guys, what did you like about the story? Okay, what did you like about the story? It can be something small, something big, something that stood out to you. What did you like about the story? So that's a question that you can answer. Try and come up with an answer, because if no one answers, then I might pick on you. So you at least have one answer to that question. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you again that we can be here together, that we can be one in Christ. Father, please be with us. May your Son be with us. May your Spirit be with us as we look at this text now. May it powerfully impact us, convict us, and challenge us, and embolden us for Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it was the first day of the Pentecost, and all the believers were in one place. Then suddenly, a loud sound came from heaven and filled the space where the disciples were meeting. Then tongues of fire came from heaven and separated and rested on each of the disciples. And then the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak languages that they have never spoken before. The Holy Spirit enabled them to do this. Now, in Jerusalem at this time, there happened to be godly Jews from all over the world. And when they heard the loud sound, a large crowd gathered. Amazed and bewildered, they said to one another, "We can hear people speaking in our own native language." Amazed and bewildered, they said to one another, "Aren't these men speaking Galileans? Then why is it we can hear them speaking in our own native language? We can hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own native language." However, some people in the crowd said, "These men have had too much wine." Then Peter and the 11 apostles got up, and Peter addressed the crowd in a loud voice. He said, "Fellow Jews, let me explain this to you. People of Jerusalem, listen to me. These men are not drunk. It is only 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is what the prophet Joel says. God says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on my people. Your young men will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. I will pour my Spirit out on my servants. I will pour my Spirit out on both men and women. You will see wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below. There will be blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will go dark and the moon will turn red. This will all happen before the day, the great and glorious coming of the Lord. And anyone who turns to the Lord, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. My fellow Israelites, listen to me. Jesus Christ was a man approved by God. He did signs and wonders and miracles among you, as you know. And God planned this. God planned this long ago to hand him over to you. But with the help of evil men, you put him to death. You nailed him to the cross. But God raised him to life. God freed him from death and suffering. Death was unable to keep hold on Jesus. As David spoke, I know the Lord is always with me. He is at my right hand. In him I will be secure. Therefore my heart will be glad and my tongue will rejoice. My whole body will be filled with hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You will show me the path of life, and when I see you, I will rejoice. Fellow Israelites, we know that David is dead. We know that David is dead and buried. In fact, his tomb is amongst us today. However, David was a prophet, and he also believed the promised, that from his family line would be a king, and that the Messiah would come back to life. That is why he says, "You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." And this Jesus has come back to life. We are witnesses of this. This Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. God the Father has given his Holy Spirit to Jesus. So what you see here today is from Jesus. You see, it was not David who ascended into heaven, but David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for my feet." And to be sure of this, you put Jesus to death. But God has made him Lord and Messiah. Now, when the people in the crowd heard this, they were deeply impacted. And they said to Peter and the apostles, "What shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away and for all that God has chosen. Now, Peter said many other words to them. He told them to turn from these evil people. And as people believed, they were baptized. And about 3,000 believers were added to the number that day. Friends, that is the story from Acts chapter 2, a very powerful and true story that happened in the Bible. And I would love, with the Holy Spirit's help, to reflect on this story with you guys now. And I'm going to show a few images first of all, and then I'll get to the question that I was going to ask you. And if you want to now, flick open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Now, Robbie, is this clicker going to work for me? Do I need to turn it on and off again? There we go. So, guys, there is an image. So, remember in the story, tongues of fire came from heaven and separated and rested on each of the disciples. And there is an image of that. Now, this is a picture that Craig took when he was in Jerusalem. And this is meant to be the place, perhaps, where Peter delivered this message. These are meant to be the steps of the temple. And apparently there was some basins around Craig where the people were baptized.
Yeah, there were purification baths.
Purification baths. Excellent. There you go. So, it's just puts a bit of concrete on it, doesn't it, when we get to see the place where it happened, or remnants of that place. And this is a picture of of what it might have looked like back then. Now, guys, I'd like to ask you a question. Feel free to just yell out your answer. And you can answer more than once. And the point of this, we're not trying to analyze the passage now. We're just simply sharing what did you like about the story, okay? So now's your opportunity to speak, if you would like, to share what did you like about the story. Yeah, Emily. Yeah, yeah. You liked how the fire came down and sat on their heads without burning them. Yeah, DJ.
I like how they could hear people speaking in their native tongue.
Yeah. Wasn't that great? So you liked how you could hear them speaking in their own native language. Excellent. Yeah, that's it. So it's clear what people did and what God did. You put him to death, God raised him to life. Yeah, thanks, Georgia.
I like seeing how brave Peter was, like, with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In the past, obviously, he had been quite afraid. And so it's kind of cool to see how the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah, Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah, liked how Peter, how brave Peter was with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Being part of the crowd. Yeah. Incredible, wouldn't it? Powerful. Powerful. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very fitting prophecy, wasn't it? There. So yeah, like the prophet Joel. That's good. It's great.
I like that it says the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? So it's a big promise, isn't it? Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So the powerful, hard-hitting truth, and but the hope that comes from that truth. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Holly, did you have something?
I liked that 3,000 were added. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? So they went from about, 120, I think it was, to about over 3,000. Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. Well, it's a good thing to think about, isn't it? Yeah, with God's help, we can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, would anyone else like to share? It's been some great answers. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, Sandra. Yeah. 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 That's, yeah. Yeah. So you liked how deeply convicted the people were. Yeah, definitely. DJ. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so some people thought their explanation was these men must be drunk. And, yeah, Peter explained that. Yeah. Yeah, so apparently they were speaking in their own native languages, which is, I guess you could describe it as a native tongue. So it wasn't necessarily spiritual tongues, but which is referred to in other parts of the Bible, but it was more of a native tongue that they were speaking. Yeah. Excellent. This is great. Well, I don't need to say anymore. I don't need to preach anymore. I think the passage speaks for itself, doesn't it, really? I mean, it's amazing. And yeah, let me share a few other things. These are just some things. I liked how all the believers were together in one place, which is a great image of the church. I liked the sound from heaven, engaging. You're just trying to think of that sound, the sound of the wind and the sight of the fire. How the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak different languages, the crowd's response, how others thought they had too much wine. Peter's boldness to talk about Jesus, which Michael referred to. How scripture was fulfilled, and Jess referred to that as well from Joel. The simple salvation message that was given is just repent and be baptized. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Simple message. Georgia picked up on this, how Peter was clear about who was responsible for Jesus' death. You nailed him to the cross, but God raised him. And Sandra referred to this, the people's hopelessness, which was shown in their response. They said, what shall we do? And how deeply impacted they were. And what Holly said, how 3,000 were baptized and joined the believers that day. And guys, here's a background passage that helps give a bit of context as what's going on in this story as well. So if you look in your Bibles in Acts 1:8 or on the screen, this is a passage that kind of, a verse that sets up the book of Acts. It talks about what God is going to do through the witnesses, through the apostles and disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So guys, this is in Acts chapter 1. It says what God is going to do through them. And we're beginning to see in Acts chapter 2, it's the beginning of this. It's the beginning of the powerful witness in Jerusalem. That's where they are. And then from, as we go through the book of Acts, the gospel will spread in all of Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And we get a glimmer of that even in this story, because godly Jews were in Jerusalem at the time from all over the world. So it was people from all over the world hearing the wonders of God declared in their own native language. So it was also the beginning of the gospel starting in Jerusalem, but going to the world as well through these other people in the world hearing the message. And it's also, does anyone remember, it was like a special day this day. It was the day of the, anyone remember? The starts with P. Day of the Pentecost, yeah. So the day of the Pentecost. So I didn't know this, but apparently Pentecost means 50. And so this happened 50 days after the Passover. So the Passover was a Jewish celebration, and that is, of course, where Jesus died. And so this is 50 days after that. Jesus has risen. He's been appearing to his disciples on and off for a period of 50 days. And now they are waiting to receive the Holy Spirit. And it's at this event, at the Pentecost event, where they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Pentecost traditionally was a celebration of the completion of the harvest. That would happen. And so it has links with things being complete. And so God uses this event to pour out his Spirit on his people. And perhaps the connection is, because it's a event that means completion, well, Jesus has completed his mission work. He's died, he's risen, he's at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has completed his work in that sense. Jesus is still working in forever interceding with us. But as far as completing that part of his work, it's complete. And now the Holy Spirit is given at the beginning of this event. So that's the Pentecost, means 50, celebrated the barley harvest, 50 days after the barley harvest. There was also commemorated the giving of the law of Moses, celebrated 50 days after the Passover, a festival that celebrated completion and finished work. It was therefore fitting that the disciples would now receive the Holy Spirit. It is evidence that Christ has now finished his work and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Guys, I'd like us to think about now, what does this story mean for us today? And then think about the different responses. And just a few other things to highlight. First of all, this is the age that we now live in. We live in the age of the Spirit. We live in the age where God's Holy Spirit dwells inside all believers. And this is powerful. Just think about what the Holy Spirit was doing here. And we have that same Holy Spirit living inside of us. We too, because of God the Holy Spirit, can have that same boldness for Jesus today. Also, what is happening here is a reversal of Genesis 11. So in Genesis 11, does anyone remember what the story in Genesis 11 was? The Tower of Babel. So in that story, God scattered the languages, didn't he? But in this story, well, God is almost bringing the languages back together again, and so they can hear the message and then sending him out again with God's message this time. It's the Old Testament scripture was true, and well, that's important for us today as well, isn't it? We can see how scripture was fulfilled and how Jesus is the one. And we're responsible for Jesus' death as well. We nailed Jesus to the cross. I remember hearing about a painter, and I couldn't find out who, but he drew a painting of Jesus, the scene, Jesus dying on the cross. He painted the crowd, but he also painted himself in the crowd as well. You nailed Jesus to the cross. That was our contribution, but God raised him to life. Praise be to God for that. And they were eyewitnesses to Jesus coming back to life. And all this was pre-planned by God. This wasn't accident or chance or fluke. All of this was in God's foreknowledge. And importantly, Jesus is the focus of Peter's message. This is the first church, the first church sermon, and Jesus is absolutely central to the first church and the first church sermon. It's all about Jesus, and that is the foundation of the church, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is present, the Holy Spirit is active, and the Holy Spirit is directing people to Jesus. I once heard someone say, the Holy Spirit is most present when Jesus is at the center. And that's exactly what's happening in this story, in Peter's sermon. And so what's our response going to be to this story that we've heard again this evening? Well, there's some different responses in the passage, isn't there? There's bewilderment and amazement. People just standing there going, whoa, what is going on? And without words, this is amazing. There are others at the other extreme going, they're mocking. These people are drunk. They've had too much wine, they say. However, the third response is the most important response. And that is the deep conviction that people had in verse 37. I've met people that have been amazed by Jesus, but they haven't had that deep conviction. And I pray that's your response, and that's why you're here. You have that deep conviction for Jesus. And that's what we pray and hope for others as well, isn't it? That they will have that deep conviction for God, and pray that the Holy Spirit will give people that conviction. We can't do that, but the Holy Spirit can. And so that's some individual responses. But what's it mean for all of us, this passage? And as I was reflecting on it this week, and reflecting on the idea of 3,000 people believed, as we refer to, isn't that amazing? Like 3,000 people, 120 to 3,000 people, and like, you know, wouldn't that be amazing if that happened to us? Well, it can, because what we see here is a church that is on fire for Jesus. And that's our prayer for this church as well, that we will be a church on fire for Jesus. The Holy Spirit will give us that same boldness, that same passion to want to tell others about Jesus and believe that God can do that kind of work in this area today. And so let's not be discouraged, but let's keep on going, and let's be individually but together a church that is on fire for Jesus. So let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this story, and we just thank you that we can read about this story. We thank you that it's been recorded in Scripture, that Peter's sermon has been written down for us to read, that we can experience this powerful event through the Scriptures. And thank you that we can believe in you. We thank you. We are sorry that we nailed you to the cross, Jesus. Thank you that we can, however, repent and believe, and that when we do, that your Holy Spirit enters inside of us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll embolden us to continue to be unashamed of Jesus. And Father, we pray and know this promise is for lots of people, and we pray that this promise will reach lots of people in this area. And we ask and pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.